Let us continue our worship with hymn number 287, Like a River Glorious. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 256, It Is Well With My Soul.
Father King David said, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Thank you, Father, that you prepare a day in the entire week, just one day, to worship you and to learn about you and to express our love for you through our offerings and dedications and service. in the church. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We need it. Father, we are delighted that we have a nation like America, free to worship you, free to love you, free to express ourselves and proclaim the gospel of our Lord to everyone. So we pray for our president and for the House of Representatives and for the Senate and for the Justice Department, that they may fear the Lord and that they be aware that there is a law about our law, and that law is the law of the Almighty, and that they will have a heart to respect it and to honor. Father, we are blessed to preach in the community and to preach around the world via internet. And many people write from America and different states, and many people in different countries, they write to us. And Lord, last week I was so delighted to find the first email, the first note in the chat from Morocco. And Father, we pray that you bless that man who cannot receive a Bible because he is a Muslim and the government would not allow a Bible to come in. But Father, he's listening. He's learning English and he's listening through the broadcast. And that's the way you reach people in an amazing and mighty way, doing miracles and using the technology of man for the glory of God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the radio broadcast through KKEMC, who reaches all the way to San Jose through Salinas and Friedman. We thank you, Father, for the many years that we enjoyed the fellowship with the people of KKEMC. Father, we pray also for those who receive tapes and CDs and replay it, for many convalescent centers like the Pacific Hill, who go and preach in the afternoon. But there are many others who are people who receive the tapes, for example, in Baltimore. They go and they share the tapes with many others. And so, Father, thank you. And we pray that the blessings of the Lord be upon each one of those elderly who are shut in, but not shut in the heart, because they can listen the voice of God. Father, we pray for those who are sick. We remind ourselves of Mrs. Forrest, one of our founders here, who is in home permanently because of cancer and one of her legs. Her joy is overwhelming, and each time we visit with her, she is full of joy and full of the expressions of the gospel. And we thank you for her children who care for her. How wonderful it is to have a family who loves the Lord even in sickness. Lord, be with Raquel as she has a very bad cold and flu and home, and she wanted to be here, but was better and safe for us, but she remained home. And I know she loves the church and she loves to be with me, and I'm lost when she is not here. And so, Father, I pray for the strength of myself, because she is a great companion and a wonderful partner in this ministry. We thank you, Father, for the gift of people in for Toyan to take over quickly and play the music for us. Thank you, Lord. Father, we have missionaries around the world. We remind of Fred and Carol Lewis. Fred is sick. There's a report that we received yesterday, which is a tiny little improvement. He can stand for 5 minutes, and then he has to go to bed. And every 3 hours, he can get up and stand 5 minutes. The bone system in the body is almost dissolved. And so, Father, we pray for a miracle. And for Carol and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, who are in Malaga, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Alberdaño in Guatemala, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center of Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, for Daniel and Miriam Lacey. Daniel is today in Ohio in the race over there as a chaplain, and for Martha Ferretti in Argentina. And then, Father, we remind ourselves not only of missionaries, but a lot of members of our church are in vacation, and remind of the Laurel family. They are very faithful, and they are enjoying themselves, and they deserve this, Father, as they serve the church and work hard in the ministry of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for your continuous provision for the ministry. We enjoy preaching and teaching and serving and doing benevolence around, and you have blessed us with people who have matured in the Lord, and they are constant in their giving, and I'm thankful as a pastor. So we pray now that you bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 563. We will be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We thank you for the gift of faith, so we know that your word is truth and will never pass away. We thank you that you have reconciled us to yourself, having made peace through the blood of the cross of Christ. We pray for wisdom so that you may use us to plead with unbelievers to be reconciled to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Father, because you are faithful and have raised up such faithful men to teach from the Scriptures, we are grateful. And we thank you that Pastor can bring us the words of life from the Scriptures. We pray that you would grant him many more years in the ministry. We pray also for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who do not know you, that they may believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And we today come to, again, to the Beatitudes. We have made just a parenthesis last Sunday, talking about fathers, and now we go back to our series of studies that will conclude this month on the Beatitude. Actually, the month of July will be involved to the last Beatitude. If you turn your Bible to the book of Matthews in chapter 5, today Beatitude is in verse 9. But just to refresh your mind, I go over each one of them very briefly. Verse 3, we have the first beatitude, the blessedness of emptiness. That means when you stand before God with no arguments. You just stand before God, and God is in the Word of God, and you read the Word of God with no arguments. Just try. No arguments. Block yourself from any denomination that you are of. If you are a Pentecostal or a Protestant, let's get mass, a Protestant, a Muslim, a Catholic, block yourself from anything like that and stand yourself before of God with no argument. That's the first beatitude in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Then verse 4 talks about the blessedness of brokenness. Blessed are those who mourn. Courage to say, God, I need your help. I need your help. Yesterday, intensively, I had to counsel with some people that were calling and calling from completely 200-300 miles away from here. And they are not willing to be broken before God. And it's very hard for me to help them. If you are not broken before God and say, God, I need your help. Verse 5 talks about the blessed are the meek, the third beatitude, the blessedness of selflessness, a humble heart before God. God is first in my life. That's very, very hard. Very hard to do. But the Beatitudes are like a ladder. They demonstrate the Christian character. First, there is an emptiness. Then there is a courage to say, God, I need you. And then a humbleness before God. Then verse 6 talks about the fourth beatitude, the blessedness of openness, of honesty, a life who is honest before God.
You know, try to pray and lie to God. Try that. So I want to lie to God. And then you pray and you lie to God. Try that. You can. You can. See? And being honest before God. And then verse 7 talks about the fifth beatitude, the blessedness of tenderness. Let God be the judge. You just be kind. People are different, you know. And let God be the judge and know you. And then verse 8 talks about the blessedness of holiness. And we talked last Sunday about that, two Sundays ago. We need to be embedded in God's word. That's where you get the holiness. Doesn't come from taking a class, or some people take seminars. No. Just put your mind in the word of God. I have given you a formula that I learned from Dr. Billy Graham long time ago. And it works for me, and I don't know if it will work for you. You can make an addition to that, or it change. You can read, but I read the Bible every day in the book of Proverbs. Today at the 24, I read Proverbs 24. And when the month ends, I start all over again. And I have done this now for 10 years. And the book of Proverbs flies over my head. And when somebody says something, I know exactly what Solomon will say about it. Now remember, the book of Proverbs in Hebrew is called preacher. And preacher doesn't mean in Hebrew to preach. It means to teach wisdom. And Solomon knew that he was going to die one day. So he write this book for his son. His son ignored the book from the first page to the last one. And that's why Israel is in the way it is today. Because his son ignored the wisdom of his father. So the blessedness of holiness doesn't come just like that. You get to know God through the word of God. And now you know what he wants to. And you'll read it, say, oh, okay. And you forgot the very hour later. It's all right. Happened to me, happened to you. Read it again. And one day it clicks in your mind. You say, wow, it's mine. And then read until the Lord takes you away into his presence. It's a life of learning process. But if you don't read the Bible, you will not grow in holiness. Holiness is not coming to church. Holiness is a life who is consistent with the word of God. And that takes time. Now today, we go to verse 9. And verse 9 is, again, this is the seven beatitude. I will teach 12 to you. These are the seven, the blessedness of peacefulness. That's a great, great blessing. Verse 7 said, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, peacemaking in the scripture is never contemplated as something passive. Some people think that peacemaking, according to God, is okay, do what you want, I'm here. No, sir. It's not in that way. It is something active. And so I thought, how am I going to relate this beatitude to you in a common level? All right, here are three things I want to consider. Peace with God. Blessed are the peacemaker. Peace with God. Peace with yourself. And peace with others. Three things we're going to learn about peacemaking today. Peace with God. Peace with yourself. A lot of people I talk, I see that their circumstances or other people are not the problem. They are the problem because they had no peace with their heart. We're going to see it in the scripture. And then peace with others. How can you have peace with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your neighbor? All right. We work through the scripture in this church and we look in a lot of the scripture. I give you the page number so that you quickly get into the scripture if you're using the Bible that is in the pew. Peace with God. Why do I need peace with God? Because man in his natural state is at odds with God. Look in your Bible in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 10, page 664. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, page 664. Mankind and his natural state is at odds with God. This is what the Apostle Paul says. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. When we were enemies, reconciliation to God came not when I became good, not when I became a Christian, when I have nothing to do with God, when I care less with God, God extended his hand to make peace with me. So I need peace with God, because if I am not a person who believes in God and believes in the mediation work of his Son, I'm an enemy of God. That's a strong word, don't you? But that's how the Bible speaks. People who care less about God, they are enemies of God. President Bush, the Congress is very alert on terrorism in America. And you try to fly today. Almost they ask you to take all your clothing. They're afraid. Where is the enemy? The enemy is within you. That's it. Peace with God is needed, because in the natural state, man is at odds with God. Mankind need peace with God because man in his natural state is far from God. Look in the Bible in Romans 3. You are in Romans 5. Go to Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. If you are in 5, you just turn one or two pages back. And look what Paul said. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that word sin is an ugly word, but I'm going to explain. There are about five different ways. The English only translated sin, but there are five different words for that. Here, the word sin here is a word saying you try, but you miss the mark. Martia is for a soldier to shoot and always hit the center. Amartia is to shoot and to miss it. And so mankind needs peace with God because he tries, but he tries in his own way, and so therefore he meets God. Why do you think there are so many religions? And I don't mean Baptists, Catholics, and so on. Christianity is one, all right? But Muslim and Buddha, and so many in the Indians, you're going through the Indian territory, so many religions. Why? Because mankind, with honesty, they try, they know in their heart there is a God. You have to stand in the ocean and look the ocean always coming to the same level to understand that there is a massive compensation between the air pressure and the water that keeps the water in level. Who do that? God. You know that. And so mankind said, there is a God, I'm going to find it for myself. And so he created ways. That's what Paul says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, everybody tries the best and never reaches the point. You need peace with God because you are at odds with God and because you are far from God, even though you try. You need peace with God because man in his natural state, this is hard to believe, but it's true, is under the wrath of God. You're in Romans 3, go to Romans 1 and verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. And the word wrath over there means wrath, the super anger of God. Look at Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, mankind trying to do good, and they're trying to do good, suppressing the truth. There was prayer in the schools here when I came to America in 1960. No more prayer. It is illegal to pray in the school. Now, they the government did this not as an evil act. They are not saying we are against God and we don't want prayer. No. Prayer is the expression of the heart, don't it? And so the government said, well, you know, that discriminate against these people and discriminate the others. And the government tried to do good and suppress the truth. And God is really getting angry about that. Really angry. There was a time in America when you had the authority to correct your children. When I was in my home when I was a child, if I disobey, my mother's hand were faster. They were Italian. They were zoom in my face. I got the message. I have to obey. Do you know if you spank a child in the California territory, the child can stop the police and tell the police you got spanking and you go to jail. And the child is away from your home. Children, don't do that because I told you. But see, are they doing wrong? No, they try to do the best. This evil psychological mind of people, without knowing, they try to do the best for you, but they're trying to do the best suppressing the rule of God. And so God, the wrath of God, is against your intentions to do good without God. So, peace with God. Why do we need it? We need peace with God because we are, by natural state, at odds with God. We are far from God. And therefore, every intention of our heart without God, the only thing that develops the wrath of God against us. We are not humble enough to say, God, what is your counsel? No way. No way. You know, you are called from time to time to jury. You know, jury duty, you have to call over there and you are selected to be in the jury. And always I carry my Bible with me. And one officer one time told me, no, you cannot pass with this book. So if the book don't pass, I don't pass. And give me your name and your serial number so I justify when the judge called my name and said, so-and-so, don't let me in. It's amazing. Why the book will not pass? Well, we don't want any book. We just want you. Well, I'm me. Without the book, I'm evil. I need a book to tell you when they ask me a question, I look in the book for the answer. He said, well, no, it's illegal in America. No, that's not illegal. It's amazing. Amazing. Mankind without God, they trying to put God away without knowing. That's the worst part. They're trying to do good, but, you know, God is saying, I'm a wrath with you. Peace with God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peace with God. Now, peace with ourselves. Now, it's going to get harder and harder and harder. And at the end, I give you the solution. But it's going to get harder and harder and harder. Peace with ourselves. And I'm going to use some examples from the Bible. A contemporary example is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, page 702. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, page 702. Paul is writing to his disciple Titus, who was a great guy. And to encourage Titus, he's telling Titus what happened to him. One of his partners left him. And look at what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. Peace with ourselves. There are some people who said, no, I don't go to church anymore. I don't read the Bible anymore. I don't want God anymore. I want what I have. And in America, that's very tempting. You work two jobs, you get a lot of money. And you can have, and two jobs maybe is not enough for you because your hands is not enough, the things you buy to satisfy yourself. And you never have peace. Why do you think people are in bankruptcy with credit cards? Because they want to. The American credit card has corrupted the country because the people hard. They have no peace with themselves. They don't know what they want. They don't know what is a need. So they want everything. And Paul, this is not new. Paul said, Demas, He left me because he knew that there is no money in the ministry. You know, when I went into the ministry, 1971, I was in seminary. 1973, I got my master. 1975, I got my doctorate degree. And my aunt, holy lady, beautiful lady, wonderful lady. And she wrote me a letter from Argentina and said, you know, there is no money in the ministry. They knew I was an engineer and I was working in certain projects and I have another diploma and I was working in certain areas. And they told me, don't do that because there is no money in the ministry. You know, this is not new. Demas left the ministry. He likes the world and he likes everything possible. So peace with yourself. What do you want? I give you another example. Let's go to Matthew 6:24, page 668. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, page 668. Peace with yourself. What do you want? You have to know what you want. Do you want the world or do you want peace with God and have a controlled life? Now look at this one, Matthew 6:24. No one, said Jesus, can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a tremendous Aramaic word from Lebanon, translated is the word money. You cannot serve, very clear, you cannot serve God and serve money. A slave of money, passion for money. I need to save the next penny that's coming up. I had the pleasure to preach in Rockefeller Church in New York City. I don't need a microphone. I say, ah, and the voice was carried on through the cathedral all the way to the end. I had the pleasure to meet Mr. Rockefeller right there on the pew and have lunch with him. And I said, Mr. Rockefeller, I have one question for you. I know you have an empire and you have made of America an empire of your family. So tell me, what is the secret? He said, son, when you wake up in the morning, you think this only thought, I need one more dollar. That was his life. I'm not ashamed to repeat it because he told me. He's dead now. But that's what it is. And look at what the Bible said. If that is your idea of life, I need one more dollar, I need the passion of dollar, then you cannot serve God because that passion for money will consume you and will destroy your peace. You have no peace. People who are passionate to get one more dollar in their saving account are people who have no peace within themselves. They're never happy, never satisfied. I feel sorry for their wife. If the man is, if it's a husband, I feel sorry for the husband. If the woman is like that, because you will never have peace, never happy with what you have. So peace with yourself, all right? Make sure that you do not see the world as your future. Make sure that you don't want to, every penny is in the market. Now, this one is very interesting. It comes in 1 Kings chapter 18, 21. And 1 Kings is, I don't have the page now, but it's in, if you open your Bible and you are in Joshua and Judges and 1 Samuel, you get the 1 Kings, all right? Chapter 18 at verse 21. And these come from the lips of a preacher preaching to the council of the elites of Israel in a critical moment under King Ahab. King Ahab was a very tremendous leader. His wife, Jezebel, was the most corrupted woman you can find. She loved the world. She loved money. She loved prestige. She loved everything she wanted to, and made of that king a misery. And so Elijah took the courage to stand before 400 of the preachers and prophets of Israel. And look at what he says. Verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You see that? You cannot have opposite thoughts and be at peace with yourself. Either God is God in your life, or whatever other thing is God in your life. You cannot have both. You cannot have opposite thoughts and have peace in your life. You cannot have opposite places. Like, if Mammon is your God, then God is not your God. You need to understand this. Peace with ourselves means a unity of mind, spirit, and thought as we go through life. You have to have that unity. And Elijah is saying to these people, I said, for how long? Israel was coming down. There were three kings, really bad. And this one, he looks good, but his wife was terrible. And a wife makes a man in the Bible. And his wife turned him all around. He was a puppet of his wife, as you remember. And he persecuted all the prophets and so on. So Elijah took the courage and said, ladies and gentlemen, how long are you going to say, if God is God, just respect him. But if something else is God, then go over there. Don't go one foot here, another foot over there. Don't come to church on Sunday and live like a devil Monday through Saturday. That's what he's saying. Have peace with yourself. Have a unity in yourself. What you said and think, that's what makes unity with what you do. You know, something like that. Peace with ourselves. Then one more degree. This is very hard. Peace with others. Peace with others. It's very hard. I bring to you two examples of the Bible. Two examples of the Bible. The first one is easy. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, page 668. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Peace with others. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. It's in page 668, Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, that's a very extraordinary sentence. Subjunctive tense. You know what that means? That means it's subject to whatever happened. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, not on the other, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Make sure you have done everything possible to have peace, whether your husband or your wife, of your children, of your neighbor, of your employee. Think carefully, said the scripture, what can I do to have peace with this person? Now, let me give you a simple example of life. You're driving, and you are driving in your line, and somebody wants to come in your way. If it's possible for you, be at peace. What do? You just put your brake, let the other pass. Because if you say it's my right, then you're going to get smashed. It is possible for you. Your husband answered you very badly. Don't answer him back. Just wait. And before bed, said the scripture, never go in anger to bed. Before bed, he said, darling, I have something that I remember. Boom, blow it up. You see, it is possible for you, said the scripture. Be at peace. And I like the word when they said, as much as depends on you, knowing the other. Usually we try to say, well, look at what he did and look at what he says. I'm trying to talk to a man and he said, oh, my wife's so bad. He said, yesterday I was in a shopping center with my friends from England and the phone ring over. My wife's so bad. It's so bad. He said, you're only talking to me about your wife. What about yourself? What have you done to make your wife mad? Well, so I don't want to tell you. Well, you don't tell me. How I want to help you? I want to tell your wife to leave you. No, no, please. He knew the scripture. This is no godly because there is no divorce. Yeah, but there is no also harassment in the Bible, right? Hey. We grab what is good and throw away what is bad. Yeah, come on. I care. This, if it's possible, I depend on you. So you analyze yourself, then it's easy. You don't have to criticize. You don't have to judge the other person. You analyze yourself and say, had I done this? What can I do? Ask somebody who is godly. Say, hey, I have done A, B, C. Is there anything else I can do to have peace in this situation? Now, young people, the children, you know, your parents sometimes get in anger and they go overwhelming. But there is one condition they get peace is when you obey them. Because the Bible said, children, obey your parent. As a mother, if you are 25, 30, you're 30 years old, and you come to your parents and say, I want to get married. And your father says, yeah, who is the girl? This girl. And she's not a believer. Your father's going to get in anger. Because the scripture says that you cannot marry an unbeliever. Doesn't matter what color she is or he is. Doesn't matter what country they come from. What matters is what's in their heart. You see, the Bible clearly said peace with others as much as depend on you. So it doesn't depend on others. Depend on us. All right? Depend on us. Now, the next one is on the first book of the Bible. It's on Genesis chapter 50. The first book of the Bible, the very last chapter of the book of the Bible, verse 20. You know the story of Joseph. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others. You know the story of Joseph very well. The youngest, one before the youngest, he was his father's eye, intellectual, sharp, short, no elegant like the other brothers, but brilliant. The other brothers hate him. Remember? And they sold him. They put him in a pit. They said, you die. Goodbye. And accidentally, there is no accident for God. The Ishmael people come, you know, that's Edom, and they came in, and they make a bargain to buy the fellow. At that time, they were slaves. And so the fellow now is in a slave of these people. He's for sale, and he comes to the marketplace and comes Potiphar, remember, the officer of the great empire. And Potiphar, the empire of Egypt, come in, he's a general in chief, executive officer. He looks on it and he sees this blonde guy among all these guards with dark skin. He says, oh, I like him. And he's sold to him. The guy is brilliant. The guy is remarkable. The guy is super. But the guy is godly. And God was with him. And very soon Potiphar said, you know, Joseph, here's my checkbook. You take the checkbook and you do all the administration of the house. I tell you what it's going to be tomorrow. When I go to down to Egypt, I phone you. I say, do this, do this, do this. And when I come here, you have everything for me. All right. Everything. Joseph became prime minister. He got in trouble in his house because a wife won his body. And he was not allowed to sell his body to a woman, and he ran away. He was in jail, remember? He started making decisions in jail. He was raised up, and Pharaoh said, I want this man, the right hand of Pharaoh. Now remember, you got 10 brothers at home, they hate you. They sold you. 10 brothers at home, they say, I want this guy to die. We want Joseph dead. We don't want anything to do with Joseph. And now you are prime minister of Egypt, standing. There is a need of food in the land. Brilliant Joseph goes to Pharaoh and said, 10 silos. America think the silos are American inventions. Too bad. The Egyptians invented. 10 silos. Actually, Joseph. 10 silos. And we have food for 7 years. And they did. Jacob is alive, his father. And they send his brothers for food. And Joseph recognized them. What do? You are the prime minister of Egypt, and four of your brothers, the older one who protected and not to be killed, remember? And the middle one who said, kill him, they are there. And they are in their knees begging. And Joseph, with all his hair like an Egyptian, he's just walking. What do? Joseph, not even think. Joseph said, fill their horses with this and give it 10 times more. Only one thing. He'd leave the little one here. Oh, no, they said. You know what happened, sir? Long time ago, and they lie. Long time ago, my father lost one of his sons. He was dead. There was a bull and boom, killed him, you know. And they're talking to the man. Can you imagine how fools sometimes we are and how under control you have to be? And he said, really? Tell me this story. And they tell the lie to him. He said, well, you have more brothers, don't you? Say, yeah, we have these and we have these and these. Okay. I keep this one until you bring me so-and-so. So go home, remember the story? They tell his father, look at all the food that we have. Look at all the things we have. But they kept, Jacob cried, remember? And they won now this one. Finally, all they come in. And they stand before Joseph. And they are all in their knees. And the Bible tells us that Joseph went to a different room, maybe to cry and to ask for God's control in his life. And now he said to the Egyptians, get out of here. I talked to them eye to eye. And when the Bible is exciting. It's better than the newspaper, I tell you. And when you are right there, can you imagine the anger that you could have? And now you're in power. Listen, verse 20. Verse 19 says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. When he said to them, I am your brother. Woo-hoo-hoo! Can you imagine the one who said, kill him? He can even be in his knees. That's why he said, do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God. What is he saying? He's saying to the people, guys, don't be afraid. You think I'm God to judge you? You did that wrong to me. You want to kill me. You abandoned me. You let me hungry. Almost they killed me two or three times. But it's okay. He said, I'm no God. I cannot judge you. We can learn from that. Brother and sister, when your wife does something wrong and your husband does something wrong, your children do something wrong, you're no God. You're then to discipline and to help. But you're no God. You don't have to judge it. Look at verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. I know why God did all of this to me. So today, when Israel is hungry, when Jacob is hungry, God did this to me so I can be a provider for my house. You see the positive side of this story? When we read verse 20, don't look anything, but when you know the story behind, you say, wow. Now, Joseph was not a superman. He was not gifted with anything more than what you and I have, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. But he did what Romans 12:18 says, as much as depends on you. And I'm sure that Joseph had his struggles in the night, and he cries, what can crush the head of this? I'm sure that every evil thought came into his mind, but he never let an evil thing control him. He said, God's going to control me. What I'm saying to you can be wrapped up in one verse of the scripture, which is in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1. And I'm going to read this verse because what used by the British government to help Argentina and Chile to have peace. Romans 5:1 said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace with God by yourself. You cannot have peace with God by your own understanding. It's all corrupted by sin. You cannot have peace with God by anything else. It's only one bridge to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm reading something from the Oxford University in the history of Latin America. For many, many years, the people of Argentina and Chile quarreled about their boundaries. And our brother Joseph knows, because he was also raised in Chile. And both countries suffer from the mistrust created. In 1990, when the conflict was at its greatest, the two presidents decided to call King Edward from England, Edward VII, to mediate the dispute. Latin America respect very highly the kings of England. On May 28, 3 years later, 1903, the two governments signed a treaty ending the conflict, and during the celebration that followed, a lady of Argentina conceived the idea of a peace monument. A peace monument was designed by Edward VII. Today, in the highest mountain at the point where the two countries converge, that's 21,000 feet high, they stand a bronze statue of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based in granite from the mountains, and the figure is fashioned from the metal of every canyon that had been used to strike terror in the hearts of the people. They melt those canyons and they build the statue. It serves as a reminder to the people of Argentina and Chile that only Christ can bring real peace to you. My friend, you can be the smartest person in the world, but if your heart is not controlled by God, if you have no way to God through the only high priest available, the Lord Jesus, you can try. You can go to the best psychologist, and there are greater psychologists in America, great psychologists, who try. But Christ will control you and will make out of you a Joseph. I read this story 29 years ago. I was in seminary, and I said, I want to be a Joseph, a peacemaker. A peacemaker. Then I learned that the first thing I need is self-control myself. To be sure that I share with you no passion of my heart, but the passion of God. To be sure that when I preach to you, I don't preach against this denomination or the other denomination or this thing, that I preach Christ and Christ alone. To be sure that I'm not your judge. You can dress like me or you can dress in blue jeans. Doesn't matter to me. I thank God for that. He gave me a heart like that. Because I was very picky when I talk to people that don't dress like me. You know, simple stupidity, but that's the way you're raised in South America. You talk to the same level and not to the others who are low level. God has to work in my heart, Lord. And he did. And so I pass it to you. Pass it to your family. Pass it to your children, to your neighbors, to your work. Be a peacemaker, and you'll be called a son of God. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of peacemaking. And thank you, Father, because when we behave as you want to, we become in the image of Christ. And if someone doesn't have that peace with you through Jesus, it is my prayer that through the reading of the Scripture, such a one may find peace with you. In Jesus we pray, amen. Benediction, I remind you, we have the fellowship Sunday today. You are a guest. You're invited to stay. I'm sure there's plenty of food for all of us as we fellowship through the meal today. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.